And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All we'd like you to do is get on that telephone as soon as you can. 55208888 is the number. The program is all about your calls, so please give us a call. 55208888. If for some reason you are not able to get to the phone, don't forget that you can send us questions by email, which we do get from time to time. Our email address is talkback@4crb.com, and those emails will be passed on to me during the week for me to comment on in our program next week. But if you're able to, give us a call right now. Don't forget, if you're south of the Tweed River, you need to put 07 in front of the number, otherwise you'll get straight through, and who knows, you could be our very first caller for today. Well, we certainly had a very busy program last week. I think from memory we had about 9 calls come in, which is getting very close to the limit that we can take in a program. So thank you to all the people who called in and made for such an interesting program. Don't forget that if any of the topics that were talked about in our program either last week or in previous weeks are of interest to you, you can pick up on those on our Bell Legal Group website. There's a brief outline of the calls that were taken and the information provided, as well as other things that we discussed during the course of the program. So that's belllegal.com.au. But we have our very first caller online this morning, and we say hi to Michael. G'day, Michael. How are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. How can I help you today?
Well, just a quick one. My father-in-law's, he's 90. He has prepared his will. He's making an amendment to the will, probably just a direction for the executors. But there's something in there. I mean, it's just about somebody living in the house until it gets sold. But also there's something in there that says that he wants the paintings that are in the house that are not really valuable, but there's quite a few of them, mm-hmm. to go to one daughter. Mm-hmm. Does he need to get the will verified, or just the direction to the executors is sufficient?
Well, if the will, for example, currently says, I leave my estate equally to my 3 children, and what he's wanting to do is to allow one of the children or some other person to reside in the house for a certain period of time following his passing, then it would be advisable to do that by way of a codicil to his will. And if he's wanting to leave particular paintings to particular people again, it's advisable that that be put into the will so that there can't be any argument about it. Because if it's not done by way of a codicil to his will, then it is not actually legally enforceable. And so the executors might be left in the invidious position of having directions from him to say, well, look, my daughter Jane can live in the house for 3 months after my passing or until the property is sold. But there might be one or more of the other children who say, well, no, hang on a minute, we don't want you living in there. You know, we want to live in there or whatever. So to avoid disputes, particularly with those sorts of things, Michael, I would certainly recommend that the changes be put into a codicil to his will. And the reason I suggest a codicil is because at the age of 90, he's obviously in advanced years, and there's always the issue about testamentary capacity when someone does a will or makes a change to a will at that age. And so it would be also advisable to get a letter from his doctor confirming that he does have testamentary or legal capacity. And if the changes are quite uncontroversial, like leaving some relatively inexpensive paintings that might have sentimental value to a particular person and saying, well, I want someone to live in the house you know, until it's sold to keep it looking nice for sale purposes or whatever, then obviously they're fairly uncontroversial changes, and the letter from the doctor would just back that up as well. Yeah. All right, then.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Okay, all the very best. Time on 4CRB is just past 10 minutes past 9, and we say good morning to our second Michael this morning. Hi there, Michael. How are you? Michael, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, good morning, Michael. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm looking to help a friend who's got a some insurance questions about his for his car and everything, and I telling him about the Robina legal thing on the Thursday night.
Yep.
But I'd never, for all these years, I've never written it down for some reason.
Oh, right, there's okay.
So there's a phone number for that, isn't there?
Yes, there is. So it's called My Community Legal now. It was previously called the Robina Community Legal Centre. And it's in the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre, which is on the western side of the street that forms the western boundary of the Robina Town Centre. So if you crossed across the street there, you've got the Anglican Church, and then next to that you've got the Gold Coast City Council Community Centre, as well as the Gold Coast City Council Hall and Library there. So it's in the Gold Coast City Council Community Centre offices. Operates from 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday, and the telephone number, if you've got a pen handy.
Yeah, I just wrote myself a bit down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the number is 0423.
0423.
Yes. 466.
466.
Yep, 266.
Six. Yep, I'll pass this on to him, and thank you very much. I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's a pleasure. Bye now. And time just continues to roll along. It's just coming up now to 12 and a half minutes past nine, as we say a very good morning to Keith. G'day, Keith. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, yourself? Yeah. I was listening to the answer to your first caller. To make an amendment to the will, you do what did you call it, a codicil.
If it's only a minor amendment to a will, Keith, then those amendments can be done by codicil. If it's a more substantial amendment, and particularly if you're deciding to cut someone out of a will, then my recommendation is to do a new will.
Now, I have a very small amendment, but how do I go about getting this codicil?
Right, okay. Well, what I would suggest you do is, if possible, go back to the lawyer who drew your will up originally and just ask them if they can do a codicil to the will for you.
That's the trick. That's the trick. I've got a... let's start at the beginning. I'm an immigrant from South Africa. I've been here 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had a will in South Africa, which was a dual will. Myself and my wife were on a dual will.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find out that that is not applicable in this country. So I went to Centrelink and I put on to, what do they call it, a courtesy public thing.
Oh, the public trustee.
That's him, you got it.
Yep.
And I've subsequently learned that whether you like it or not, they become the executor.
No, well, that's actually not correct. You can insist that someone else is the executor other than the public trustee.
Well, I'd like to make an amendment to my will to the effect that I want my son to be the executor.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you could go back and see the public trustee and tell them that you want to do a codicil to your will to make the public trust. To make your son the executor. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously. They endeavour to take up the role of executor and trustee under your will because that's obviously where they make the bulk of their fees. So you could certainly go and ask them, but if for any reason you incur any difficulty with them in making that change, then you could always just go and see a solicitor to get it done. It's not a particularly expensive thing to do, Keith. I think you'd probably be looking at around about $150 to $200 to have it done.
Okay. And where are your offices in Palm Beach?
No. Our office is at Bundle,
Bundle,
the coast.
Yes.
So if you're down at Palm Beach, what I would recommend you do is ring the Queensland Law Society and ask them for a referral to a firm nearby to you that does wills so that you could go and see them.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much. You have a good day, okay?
All right. Do you want a number for the Law Society?
Oh, I'll find it. There's no sweat. There's not an urgency. It's not going to happen. You know, I just want to know. I want to know how to go about this thing.
Yes.
Now I'll find out from the Centrelink. I don't want to interfere with more time, and there's more folks want to phone in and so forth.
All right, I've got the number right here, so if you've got a pen and paper, I can give it to you.
Yeah, but then it gets to go over there where you hear the radio, and that might not be convenient for you because the radio, and I've walked about 50 metres away from the thing.
All right, no trouble at all then, Keith.
Thank you greatly.
All the very best. And the time just continues rolling along. It's just coming up to 16 minutes past 9. The Law and You is the program. 5520888 is our number. That's 5520888. Presently, we have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query, you'd be able to get straight through, unlike last week when we had a real number of calls on, and in fact I think at the end of the program there were a few calls that we simply couldn't take because there were too many calls came through. So 5520888 is the number. If you have a question or a query, you can get through right now. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Eyesight giving you trouble? Change the way you see the world with help from the Eye and Laser Centre Gold Coast. Their doctors are Dr. Frank Howes and Dr. Louise Robinson, who specialise in cataract, laser eye surgery, glaucoma and corneal procedures. Eye and Laser Centre Gold Coast offers a full range of procedures for all ages. Call for an appointment on 5555 0800 or visit Level 4 2 Short Street, Southport, a sponsor.
And this is the Law and You on 4CRB. Our telephone number 5520888. That's 5520888. While we're waiting for some calls to come through, there were a couple of things that I was going to mention today, and one of them was quite interesting, and that is that the federal court has found that Google misled consumers about personal location data collected through Android mobile devices. So I do stress this was in relation to Android, not in relation to Apple. And the action was basically brought by the ACCC because what it essentially meant was that Apple had said that it was only in one account setting that affected whether they could keep your personal data or not, but in fact there was a second account setting, web and app activity, which enabled Google to collect and store and use personally identifiable location data, even when it was turned off, because that setting was on by default. And so the federal court has found that this was a breach and took appropriate action against Google to ensure that that sort of thing was not repeated. The other one that I saw was that ASIC, and I often talk about ASIC, and the action that they take, which often goes unreported, but in this particular case, they're taking action against Westpac on allegations that it missold consumer credit insurance. Now, I have to say that Westpac is certainly not the first bank to be taken on by ASIC in relation to the mis-selling of consumer credit insurance, which is basically insurance to cover you if you can't make your credit card repayments because, or your personal loan repayments because you become sick or whatever. And there have been a number of instances where it's been found that that form of insurance is simply not worth it. And so it's interesting to see that ASIC is continuing its fight on that front. But enough of that. We've got a caller online, as we say. A very good morning to Jim. G'day, Jim. How are you today?
Oh, g'day. How are you going, Don?
Going well.
I've got a problem with a possible inheritance. I've got a 96-year-old mother in a nursing home in Sydney, and an older brother who's a chartered accountant and a bit of a fraudster, and he's been manipulating things to take monies. And it's hard for me to prove it, but my mother has told me. And this has gone on about 7-8 years now, where the executor was changed from my youngest brother to my oldest brother. And then in order to put her into a nursing home in Sydney, they had to do up the house to sell it on Brighton Beach. And while I was down there getting everything fixed, my eldest brother was doing things behind my back. And this is after gutting the house of all its valuables and all the sentimental things that I had bought for my mother. mm-hmm. like icons from Mykonos that were very expensive. Anyway, long story short, I haven't been told anything despite asking for the truth. And my eldest brother boasts that he can manufacture any document. And they all went off on long overseas holidays after taking the compounded interest from term deposits. And I've written off the money, and I just don't know. Could my mother have approved for my older brother to have all the money assigned to him before the house was sold?
Sorry, which state?
It was in New South Wales.
Is she still living in New South Wales?
Yeah, she's in a nursing home, but she's not really competentous.
She no longer has legal capacity.
No.
Right. Okay. Well, in New South Wales, there is a concept called notional estate, and that basically provides that if the deceased has disposed of assets within 3 years of their passing, within the 3 years prior to passing away, then those assets can be by court order brought back into the estate and regarded as part of the estate for distribution purposes. So you've got two issues. One is what your mother's will says, and so therefore the first thing would be whether you're included in your mother's will. And from what you're outlining to me as your position with your mother, it sounds to me that, you're a dutiful son and that, you had until the time that your mother lost capacity, that you had a quite a good relationship with her, particularly if she confided in you her concerns about what your older brother was doing. So that's the first thing. So therefore there doesn't appear to be any disqualifying conduct there in relation to your entitlement. Yes, go on.
I actually moved up to the Gold Coast and I bought a house through the granny flat so I could look after her.
Mm.
And my brothers thought I was trying to get her house off her, and there's all this massive resentment. And because I'm a war veteran and get medical benefits, they figure then they can take things themselves because I get stuff from DVA. And it's it's very ugly.
Yeah, that is very sad. So the first thing I would be doing while your mother's alive is I would be endeavouring to work out what assets she had prior to your brother becoming involved. I would be making notes of which bank she had money with, if she had shares, what company she had shares in, etc.
They took all the records. They took everything.
So do you have any idea, though, of what those, which bank she banked with and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've got a vague notion. I did, when I went down to do the ACAT assessment, I did see bank accounts, but they all disappeared by the time I got back.
Yeah, but you would have seen what the name of the bank was.
Yeah, I did.
So if you've got details of the bank, and if your mother was the sort of person who normally just kept the money in the bank, then at least if you have those bank details, after your mother passes away, you can make searches with those banks. Is your brother currently power of attorney for your mother?
I think he is.
You could do would be to make a complaint to the New South Wales equivalent of the Adult Guardian's Office. That's the section of the government in New South Wales that deals with concerns about elder abuse. And if your mother's lost capacity and there is concern that your brother has basically dissipated her wealth to his own benefit, then that's clearly a breach of the terms of his power of attorney, unless there was a provision in the power of attorney allowing him to enter into conflict transactions. So that's the first thing. But you would be able to make a complaint to them and see whether they're prepared to investigate during your mother's lifetime. Given that your mother's lost capacity, it probably doesn't really matter if you make a complaint during her lifetime, because It's not like she's going to become aware from your brother that you've made this complaint and she's going to get all upset about it or anything, because if she doesn't have capacity, well, she'll have very little, if any, input into what goes on.
Yeah, but I'm dealing with a family of narcissistic sociopaths. I can't explain it anymore.
Well, that may be the case, but if you do nothing, then you can only expect the result will be zero. So, so what you need to do is, what part of the Gold Coast do you live?
Telebudgera.
Jim? Okay, so what you could do is you could go over to the Robina Community Legal Centre on a Thursday evening and see one of the lawyers there to have a more detailed chat, because in going to see them, you can recite chapter and verse, give names and give precise details. Obviously, on air, we have to deal with things in general terms so that we don't identify people. But if they operate from 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday evening, would you like the telephone number to call them?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the number is 0423...
466 286 286.
Yeah, so what I would suggest you do is go and see them and have a good chat to them about the circumstances that you're in, and they will be able to advise you. But you do have two, in my view, you have two separate positions. You have one that you can take while your mother is alive by reference to the adult guardian's office as a result of the apparent abuse by your brother of his position as attorney for your mother. And then the second one would be after your mother passes away, if for any reason when she passes away there are no assets because your brother has dissipated them all. Well, particularly if they were taken within 3 years of her passing, then there would be a claim for under the notional estate provisions. But even if that's not the case, there still very well may be a claim in fraud. So you do have some options, but you need to get some advice sooner rather than later, Jim.
I've done a lot of work in fraud in my career in the past, and this whole thing stinks.
It certainly sounds like it, that's for sure.
I'll take your advice, and I appreciate it very much, John. Thank you.
No trouble at all.
Okay, cheers for now. Bye.
And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 28 minutes past nine. We probably don't have really any more time for any more calls, so thank you to all of those who've called in. As I was mentioning before Jim came on the phone about that consumer credit insurance, if you're looking to take out a new credit card, or you're looking to take out a personal loan, or you have a child or a grandchild who's looking to do that, make sure that you look very, very carefully at any offers of consumer credit insurance to see whether they are in fact worthwhile or not, because quite often the amount you pay for that consumer credit insurance and the narrowness of the terms under which a payment might be received are simply not worth it. So that's just something that you might be able to assist your children or your grandchildren with if you have a child or grandchild that's looking at that sort of credit. Well, thank you to all the people who've called in today to make for such an interesting program. Certainly not as many as last week, but the good thing about that was that it gave plenty of time to be able to give more detailed responses. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for The Law and You. I'll look forward to being back with you next week. As I mentioned earlier, don't forget that you can see details of all the calls taken today together with the advice given on the Bell Legal Group website. So that's belllegal.com.au, as well as other interesting articles there in relation to estate planning, wills, etc., if that's an area of concern to you. But until next week, as always, it's goodbye and God bless.